Yeah, sure thing.
Hey, you sold that car yet?
Yeah, sold it to Carvana.
Oh, I thought you were selling to that guy.
The guy who wanted to pay me in foreign currency, no interest over 36 months? Yeah, no. Carvana gave me an offer in minutes, picked it up, and paid me on the spot. It was so convenient.
Just like that?
Yeah.
No hassle?
None.
That is super convenient.
Sell your car to Carvana and swap hassle for convenience. Pickup fees may apply.
But where's the money coming from when it comes to the Golden State Warriors? They're going to take on the Celtics today. We're talking to Jermaine Wiggins out there at WEEI in Boston. He's a big Celtic fan. We'll ask about the playoffs and Mike Vrabel and what he's seeing from the Celtics. Because the Celtics, they are a very predictable team. They remind me so much of the Houston Rockets of the late 2010s when it's just threes, frees, and layups. They don't shoot the mid-range. They jack up over 50 threes a game. They're very predictable offense, but they're more likable than those Houston Rockets teams, right? Daryl Morey, Mike D'Antoni kind of got off our nerves with all the talking they did, and James Harden with all the flopping. Jaylen Brown and Jason Tatum are more likable. Jrue Holiday's a likable player, but they play like the Rockets. Very, very predictable. Just watch the game today. You'll see what I'm talking about. But how did people feel with Jordan Poole back in the building?
All I kept thinking watching the game was the woulda, coulda, shoulda, and where everything went wrong. Now, like, again, and I don't think anybody, even if, like, I consider myself probably a bigger Jordan Poole fan than most. And I know you would probably align more with where I'm coming from. And it's like, I never thought that he was some perennial all-star yearly, but I certainly didn't think he was a scrub. And, yeah, he's terrible on defense. There were three or four occasions, especially in the fourth quarter, where he just falls asleep off ball. And the next thing you know, GP2, who he ended up getting switched on, is like, yep, I'm going to slide right here. Let me go right up and up and in. And how about GP2 untying his shoes? I mean, that was pretty funny. I got a kick out of that. But more than anything,
that was fun.
Watch how the rest of the Warriors, not named Draymond Green, react to Jordan Poole. And I don't know how many people picked up on this, but clearly, those guys really like him. And I think that that matters to me as we want to like crush a 23-year-old or a 24-year-old for being too confident in the ultimate like young guy confidence era. Like go to a sixth grade basketball game and watch a bunch of kids play, sixth graders who all think that they're him. They're Himothy. That's what they all think. They're pointing to their ice in their veins and they're doing the three and they're doing the he's too small. And we're mad at Jordan Poole, who's averaging 20 in the league for being arrogant. Do you understand the type of arrogance that's required to play in the NBA?
Well, that's why the last 2 years has gotten on my nerves. I'm talking Warriors basketball, talking about who's got a bad attitude and who doesn't have a bad attitude. You know, Jordan Poole's attitude that year was directly related to what happened in training camp. And how can you get over that? So, fortunately, and I'll reveal some of the things. After the game, after the post-game show, I walk back in the arena, grab some stats, catching up with some people. And Jordan Poole, they were having like a free throw shooting contest with all the fans. Guys, check your phone. I want you to pull this sound here from Jordan Poole. But after the game, they were having like a little free throw contest with the fans. They're letting fans go on the court and shoot free throws. So we're having some fun with that. And then I look down, and there's Jordan Poole and his family. So I walk up. I go, hey, Jordan, man, because he had two threes.
As in his family, he's not married, is he?
He's not married.
So it's like
mom, dad, okay, family, just, close friends.
You don't have to disclose.
His contingent,
I was just curious.
His contingency.
Yeah.
It's like 15 deep.
He's got buddies.
He got, you know, there was a lot there.
I know there's a photographer, J Squared.
J Squared was there.
From Reardon, who's very tight with him.
I ran into J Squared. I see J Squared all the time. He lives around. He lives by me. We're like neighbors. I ran into him at the Molly Stones.
That's great work.
But J Square and G Baby, who's Jonathan Kaminga's photographer,
G-Baby.
I always joke with them. I look at them. I was like, oh, J Square, you're back in the building. You're new buddy now. So those guys are really good dudes, man. Really good dudes. Love J Square, what he's done and what he's had to overcome to get to the point he's at right now. But Jordan Poole's there, and I walk up to him because he admits two threes in the first half. Wizards were rolling up nine, and he had two threes that went in and out. And I was like, ooh. They go up 12, 13, 15. What's going to happen here? So I walk up. I go, man, those two threes that went in and out in the first half. Woo! He goes, here you go. I end up chopping it up with him and his family for about 10 minutes. And it was obvious to me when I walked away from that moment that he missed being here. And he's like, dude, I still see three jerseys here. I said, dude, you have no idea the pool parties that we're having out here. That was a thing. That was the second biggest pop outside of Stephen Curry making threes was Jordan Poole. And the quickness he had to burst to the rack, he was balling. And then I started thinking, how does this look in a league full of ultimate bucket getters where you need offense? Because that's what's done in the Warriors since they've started 12-3. Their offense has been awful. Middle of the pack. I got the numbers here. It's been atrocious to watch at times. Steph Curry mentioned stale. And then I started thinking, what if Klay and Poole was here? Obviously, there are some guys who are going to be gone. But what if you had JP and what if you had Klay? Like, Shaz, can I ask you right now? Outside of Stephen Curry, who are you leaving open on a three-point line on this basketball team right now?
What I mean, who am I guarding?
Who are you gonna guard on a three-point line?
Oh yeah, who am I guarding? Yeah, well, I mean, occasionally, buddy.
Occasionally,
like, I mean, I'm just trying to if I'm doing a scouting report,
right?
It's like Buddy and Wiggins again, occasionally, and Wiggins. It's more like I'll let him take the three because I don't want him to drive. I think he's better as a penetrator, you know, attacking the hoop. But I mean, those guys. How many shooters in the league can I name before I get to those two?
Right.
That I fear more. 75, 80, 90. I don't know what the answer is. And again, Wiggins having a good year.
He's having a really good year.
He's actually had
three straight games in which he scored at least 20. And he actually saved a game Saturday night Steph was clearly compromised with the right thumb.
Yeah.
Wiggins is balling.
But if you were guarding Wiggins, just think about it from like, if you and me were guarding, again, if we were, he's going to blow by us no matter what. But like, are you going to take a couple steps back and give him the three-point shot and not give him the penetration? Right. Or are you going to play him super tight? You're probably going to lay off him a little, like at the three-point line, just a little, right? And that doesn't mean he can't shoot the three. It's like, of the things he does well, that's not going to be what he hangs his hat on.
So basically, you're kind of proving my point.
Which
here is
no one.
You're proving my point. So I brought up Klay a little bit to the pools, and I was just like, look, at least with Klay, and I know how it ended, which is just silly when people say, well, you had a bad attitude. A lot of people don't even know what went on in that locker room. A lot of guys have bad attitudes. You ever been on the team? CYO, Little League, high school, college. There's always going to be a bad apple at some point. But to put it all on Klay saying he was the ultimate bad apple is just ridiculous. I don't want to go down that road, though. But at least with Klay, you know you're not going to leave him open on the three-point line. So where I'm getting to is the spacing on the floor. With Poole, with Klay, you have ultimate spacing for Stephen Curry. And right now, when you're playing these lineups, and actually Looney looks good, and I think the Warriors are probably going to go to the one big lineup at times. At times, you don't have the spacing because you have too many non-scorers on the floor. And so that's doing the Warriors in. You look at their numbers this year, Shasky. Points per game, they're 19th in the league. The Warriors with Steph Curry, 19th in the league when it comes to points per game. Field goal percentage, they're 24th in field goal percentage. Three-point percentage, middle of the pack, 13th in the league. Offensive rating, 20th. And I see Poole cooking, and I'm thinking about what could have been. What could have been? Division of the two timeline, integrating the youngsters with Steve Kerr saying last week, this is a young man's game. And I'm thinking, we had a plethora of young men that could help this team today. And for whatever reason, that's not here anymore. And now we get to Draymond Green. Because here's what Jordan Poole said after the game, and I want to get to Draymond Green.
Yeah, I love those guys over there. I love most of those guys over there. Really good group, really good staff. Shout out to the fans. Saw a lot of three jerseys out there, a lot of JP3 jerseys, which is always really cool and always get a lot of love. Spent some good quality time here, and it's dope to see it. Appreciate it.
And Jordan Poole, I mean, just talking to him and his pops, his moms, everything, he's in such a great place right now, and I was happy for him that he's able to revitalize his career, play at a high level, average a career highs over. I love the guy. I do. He was one of my favorites. And so to see him in a better space was great. But then that comes out. Mark Spears posted a quote. Dalton Johnson had the video. And as you know, Draymond Green, and we all thought it was a fake account, but it was actually Draymond Green who tweeted and replied to Mark Spears' tweet saying, I really am sorry. And the regret that he's had now with that situation. And I want to know from Dub Nation, is the apology too late? Do you like the apology? What'd you feel? When you read it, what came to your mind? Draymond Green apologized basically saying, I really am sorry about what happened. He told Penny Hardaway earlier this season, but it may be a little too late. And I'm thinking about where the organization is now, where the roster is now. Boy, you could have made it work. It could have made it work with all these guys. The San Antonio Spurs went back-to-back finals, integrating young guys and Kawhi Leonard and Danny Green and Patty Mills and Tiago Splitter. It could work. But Draymond Green tweeted, I really am sorry. Shasky, I know you've been very critical of Draymond Green recently, but what did you think what Jordan Poole said, what he said, and Draymond Green replying the way he replied?
I thought it was a fake tweet. I didn't think, like, in terms of, like, I thought it was, like, a fake account. I'm like, because, you know, I get burned on the internet all the time. I'm like, he really felt compelled to tweet at Mark Spears to defend himself? Why now? Why are you contrite now? Why haven't you done this earlier? Why did you do a documentary after you punched the guy and have it released on Ring Night? Why have you been so defiant about the whole thing? I had way more questions than I had answers. I mean, it's funny to me. I've been labeled a Draymond hater for a long time. And I see what he brings to the table. But the way I view things is it's not all one or the other. Like, Dre's terrible or Dre's the greatest ever. There's gray area, right? He brings stuff to the table. But I think we've reached the inflection point for most fans where all the baggage outweighs the stuff he brings to the floor. And this is clearly another case and another reminder of all the baggage that he brings to the table. Now, on the court, and we're going to get into the whole JP thing, but on the court, he's a great defender. Would we all agree?
Yep.
Okay.
That's not good enough right now.
Well, let me tell you what he's not bringing to the floor. Spacing on offense, yep. Team chemistry, availability. He's definitely not empowering all the young players. Clogging up the four and the five at times for others to play, as in Kuminga, Moody, potentially could have been Klay Thompson maybe playing some minutes at the four, right? He's bringing more cons to the table than the pros. And now I go back to the Jordan Poole thing, and I'm saying to myself, boy, how guilty does this guy feel? How guilty does he feel to have to go out and reply tweet to Mark Spears? Yeah. I said I was sorry.
I am really sorry.
I'm okay. Really sorry. Clearly Jordan Poole doesn't feel that.
Well,
it doesn't matter what Joe Shasky thinks. It doesn't matter what Golden State Warrior fan X thinks. Like, it really, like, if you felt like you apologized and that guy accepted it or whatever, or maybe he didn't accept it, but like, you feeling sorry, that doesn't mean nothing. Like, how many times I've said to my wife, like, oh, I messed up, I'm really sorry. Well, at some point, it falls on deaf ears.
Well, it does. And listen, we've had 2 years to kind of digest this and hijack the season and, you know, talking to Poole and looking at him in his eyes and seeing where he was. Going back to that incident, and I remember that year, and I'll freely admit it. When that incident happened, I said, there's no way they're going back-to-back in my head. But I said, how do I get through the season and try to help Dub Nation get through the season and enjoy basketball, knowing that there's this big elephant in the room where you got two guys who are probably not going to speak to each other much in that locker room,
in a small
nor
group.
On that practice court, and you got to fly all across the country with each other. It's just not, it's not good. So the way it was handled, and I don't blame the Warriors for not handling it great, because they're a basketball organization. How do you handle a situation like this? But thinking about that situation, because it came to light Saturday, it did. It really got me thinking about everything. It was like, boy, that incident could be the beginning of the end of what we see now with the Golden State Warriors. And I hope it's not the case. I still believe they have some. Look, this stretch they're in right now, let's just be real. This is a season-defining stretch for the Golden State Warriors. It's going to dictate what they do at the trade deadline. It's going to dictate what they look like by the end of the year.
It might have an effect on next year.
Yeah, it will. It's a season-defining. Like, yeah. This is a critical, critical, critical stretch. And the last time they had 8 of 9 at home, they went 3-6. Now, this time you have 8 of 9 at home, you know you're going to be without Draymond Green for a while. You're going to be without Jonathan Kuminga for maybe the next week. What happens? You're playing Moses Moody at the 4. But going back to that incident, and I just thought, boy, the Warriors, it was a poor job of handling the situation in terms of, okay, I get, we want to know who leaked the video. We still don't know who leaked the video. I get it. We want to know who leaked the video. But also, I thought the care for Poole, we could have been a little more careful there in terms of just protecting your young assets, saying, all right, man, but we moved on, and Draymond got a little punishment in training camp, but he was there for ring night. He didn't miss a game. And the optics of everything that's happened since then, the LeBron James dap up with LeBron and Draymond, and you see Iguodala on the bench doing what he's doing, and the way he was getting side-eyed there, the way the documentary you mentioned got leaked on ring night, which probably we should have just pressed pause on and just said, let's leave it alone.
It's called tact.
You know, it's not a good look.
Would you agree?
It's not a great look. And in the way that season, the way that season played out, and we saw it during the championship year where if you did want to move off of Draymond Green at times, well, we saw him pivotal moments. Game one against Memphis, Draymond got ejected. They won that basketball game. Mm-hmm. Jordan Poole and Steph Curry was, and people forget, I was talking to Jordan Poole about this. I was like, dude, I've seen a lot of NBA players in their first postseason just wilt. The guy averaged 17 during his, it was his first ever postseason.
And it got very physical.
Got very physical. And it was talking. And look, he went through his ups and downs, but damn, he was a net gain when you have Steph, Clay, and Wiggins doing their thing. I'm getting 17 for Poole off the bench. Wow, that's a bonus. But you saw pivotal moments during that series. Looney as a one big. Gets Dallas, game two, Draymond gets in the foul trouble. They come back from the 20-point deficit. They win that series. Game four, Boston. We know what happened in the fourth quarter. So there was pivotal moments where you said, what does it look like without Dre? You may be able to sustain some things without Draymond Green for the foreseeable future. And then you look at the Lakers series that next year where the incident does happen, Chasky. And what did I say going to the Sacramento series? It's a one big lineup series. One big lineup series. What flipped it? Draymond gets suspended. Game three, they win. They go one big lineup with Kevon Looney. Wow, the offense is moving. There's a lot of spacing. Wow, Clay's wide open. The two big lineup, that Lakers series, did them in. Anthony Davis is pecking at the paint. So at that point, you're thinking to yourself, how do you evolve as a team? Do you still go with the old well, which you have won a lot of championships with? Or do you kind of tweak some things and move forward, especially after that incident? And the optics of, we're going to flip Poole for Chris Paul, who's always been a hated Warrior, and he plays a slowdown system. It's probably not going to work.
Gosh.
And you gave Draymond $100 million after that incident, and now here we are in 2025, and in the game with Jordan Poole and the Wizards, and Draymond Green, it's Draymond who leaves 3 minutes into the game with an injury, and it's Jordan Poole score 38, and you're thinking to yourself, is Draymond Green going to hold up with his body? And then two, you got the incident after the game where he's saying, I'm sorry. And it's almost like, you know what? I understand the apology. I understand feeling guilt. But it also feels like, boy, this may came a couple years too late. And I know he's offered more apologies. This isn't the only one. But I think he was basically saying, like, dude, I know I screwed up. But the effects it's had on this organization now, Poole's gone. Clay's gone. We have no idea what the team's going to look like next season. They're 21-20. And the one young asset you have in Jonathan Kuminga, and then you have Moses Moody, too, who's going to get some runway here. But also, Jonathan Kuminga, people have been up and down on him because of the position logjam at the four spot, the positional logjam you have at the four spot. But also, it's kind of, you know, up and down, and minutes been toyed with left and right. And we're in this spot now, and I'm just thinking to myself, it all started with that incident. If that incident doesn't happen, how different does it look? And I drove home that entire night thinking, damn, we had the future in our hands. Yeah, Jordan Poole, who's going to learn from Steph and Clay? And the whole thing, another thing, sorry, I know I'm long-winded here. The other thing that bothered me, the whole sequence, and I heard it from people on these airwaves over and over again, Clay was jealous of Poole shining. They didn't like each other. Yeah, you sure about that? Because Klay Thompson's brother, Michael, worked out Jordan Poole before every single game. And if you think Klay and Jordan Poole had a beef or a problem, you think Michael Thompson would be working out Jordan Poole before the game? No. Those guys loved each other. So there's been a lot of fake narratives around the Golden State Warriors over the last couple of years. A lot of lies about a lot of people having attitude problems and egos and saying that certain people deserve this and certain people deserve that. Nah, man. That incident may have been the beginning of the end of this current core of the Golden State Warriors. And I hope I'm wrong. I really hope I'm wrong. But watching Jordan Poole doing what he was doing and what he's done this season, even though they're losing a lot of games, and looking at my old vets and I'm saying, damn.
You know, it's interesting. My dad used to say to me, you know, like, you don't burn bridges. And how you treat people on the way up is how you're going to be treated when you're on the way down. And so when it comes to Draymond Green, I have very little empathy. I just don't. I don't have a lot of empathy for him. I don't think he's been the greatest teammate. I don't think he's been the greatest employee, because at some level he is an employee. I think he's been defiant at every single turn. I think he's failed to acknowledge his own shortcomings. None of us is perfect. No one asks for you to be perfect. And we made a lot of excuses for him. And it just feels like with a lot of the fan base, the jig is up. And it feels like a lot of people are starting to see it for what it is. And you and I have talked about this. We knew this day was coming. I said to you, how many years ago did I say, come on, B, you know, one day when they divorce the Warriors and Draymond, it's going to be ugly. And it feels like we're in it right now.
Yeah.
And then to see Moses Moody get opportunities at the four, and for the coach to come out and say, boy, you know, he's got some opportunities here at the four and we really like him at the four. I'm thinking to myself, I like pulled my hands up and I'm like, have I not been screaming to the high heavens? Kaminga's a four. I don't know about Moody.
I think the Moody playing him at the four is, we've talked about his lateral quickness, yes, athletically and whatnot. Maybe he's not ready to guard guards. But if you get him down with his body, his strength, lower body strength, you play him at the four defensively, where you're not guarding guys who's got the ball in their heads. Maybe they're just on the three-point line or whatnot. Maybe it's an easier role for Moody defensively. And then offensively, if you're playing him at the four, and if a big happens to be guarding him in a cross matchup, well, he's going to have an advantage offensively. So, yeah, when it comes to Draymond Green, and I'm just looking at the numbers here, I'm keeping it basketball, stylistic. Yeah,
but on the basketball court,
basketball,
all he's bringing December to the table 1st, right now is defense, well, and he's not healthy.
Well, I don't know, because I don't even know about defense. Because right now, obviously, he's not healthy. And when I saw Jaime Jaquez drive by him twice during that game against Miami, during the last homestand, I said, damn, Dre's not moving well at all. And now you look at his shot, which he got off to a hot start from the three-point line. Now he's shooting 30% from three since December 1st. He's not the only one struggling from three, but he's shooting 30% from three, 39.5% from the floor, and you're not getting the rebounding numbers that you usually get. So it is a dilemma here. And I think stylistically, from just the basketball standpoint, you have to evolve in some way. You can't have guys in a triple threat position or not in a triple threat position,
back
not
looking the at basket, the basket.
You know, and there's
40 feet
Draymond's,
away.
Draymond's not the only one. You've got a team where you got a lot of specialists on this team.
But like, going back to the on the court, at times GP2 is your four, offensively.
Yeah, and he's okay? in a dunker role.
At times, Jonathan Kuminga is your four. At times, and I don't, to a way lesser degree, Kyle Anderson's your four, right? I thought, this is going back a couple years, I thought at times, not for the whole game, you could have played Klay Thompson at the four. I actually thought that was the better fit for him on offense for this team. Now, defense, you mix and match, and we'll figure it out.
Klay Thompson has good lower body strength.
Exactly.
And he could play the four defensively. Just I've seen him guard guys. Like, yeah, I've seen him guard guys down on the block and hold his own for the most part. But really, for the most part, it's not going to work out defensively if you do it all game long. But in spurts, you can get away with that.
So, when Dre is playing the four, it makes things complicated. And then if Dre is playing the four, who you have at the five is extremely important. And who you have at the other two spots outside of Curry is extremely important for spacing. So there's always going to be this spacing vortex, right, when it comes offensively. Then I think about team chemistry. I mean, come on, guys. Let's just come on. Yeah, okay, Curry and him have great chemistry. You know, like, there's more to chemistry than do I pass well. It's all the other stuff. Like, you know, like, the temperament on the floor is very, very important. And then I think about, you know, all the other guys that can get options and get looks and stuff. The time has been here, and I've been here for a long time. Like, dude, it's addition by subtraction. Look, he's a great player. He's an all-time player. They don't win any championships with him. All of that is true. If they're ever going to win anything moving forward, you got to move him. It's time to go. We've been here. Like, I've been here for a while. It seems like a lot of people are on my page. And then I just think about what happened with Jordan Poole. It's like, guys, the time is now to just remove the Band-Aids. If you want to move into the next era, well, and the Warriors are going to make any kind of movement, not just this year, but for the next couple years, it's addition by subtraction.
Well, I do know I heard from a lot of fans last year, and 408, this is not true.
What's that?
Said Poole did want a bigger role, and it sucks since we would have had that role with Clay departing from the team. No, Poole was happy here. Like, that's the thing, that this misconception, and I don't know where it came from. I don't know where this stuff comes from, because I'm in the weeds every single day when it comes to this organization and this team. And so people who don't follow, who don't cover the team or don't go to have locker room access, or just random fans who are saying things, I get it. Everybody has a right to their opinion. But Poole was good. As long as Poole, like a lot of these players, yeah, they'll bitch and moan maybe about not being in the starting five. But as long as they're seeing 30 minutes a game and they're playing in pivotal moments of a game, they're good. Well, they're going to be good. If they're contributing to winning and getting minutes, they're fine. And so Poole was fine in his role. He knew the drill, let the Splash Brothers cook. He grew up watching the Splash Brothers, for crying out loud. And think about all the young guys you did have on the team. that looked up to Steph. Like, that's the thing. This is Steph Curry, which is why I don't want to trade him, which is why I want him to be a lifelong Warrior. That's why I think he's worth every single penny of whatever contract he gets. I don't care. But they all looked up to Curry, whether it was Wiseman, Potts, Poole, you know, for a lesser extent, Clay, who was here after Steph Curry. And Steph was like the big brother saying, hey, it's you and I show now that we traded Monte Ellis. This is our show now. So when it comes to Draymond and it comes to everything that happens, this is the natural evolution of a basketball team and the style that you play. Now, does Draymond fit with the style that you play right now? Steve Kerr really trusts this guy. But I did wonder, what would it have looked like with Poole and Clay? What would it have looked like when you got spacing on the floor and bucket getters? Because I swear to God, the NBA to me is an offensive league.
Yeah.
People say defense, yeah, you need stops. Obviously, you need three stops in a row at times. You need to play some defense. You need to contest. But really, the Warriors have a top 10 defense when it comes to the rating and the stats. Their offense stinks right now. And it's a bucket-getting league. Can you get a bucket in crunch time? Can I get guys who could dribble, drive, penetrate, and blow past the defender? Well, Jordan Poole can. And he always has been. And you lost that for CP3. And I understand you couldn't have those guys in the locker room, so they basically chose the four-time champ over the one-time champ. I get that. But boy, it doesn't look good. The optics doesn't look good. So, again, you get Draymond Green bringing light to the fire again where Jordan Poole says, hey, let Jordan Poole say what he says. He loves most of the guys over there. We understand what he said.
Yeah, but the Warriors will never be able to move on until they move on.
No, God, no doubt about that.
What I'm getting to, though,
is Draymond Green replying on the tweet. It's like, we don't need to bring light to this again. Now, Draymond Green is a grown-ass man. He can do whatever the hell he wants to do. Who am I to say that?
Yeah, but his actions have repercussions.
But the tact where it's like, gosh, man, 2 years later, I get you trying to apologize, but you understand that young man went through that year was atrocious. So for me, I just have empathy for Jordan Poole. I'm not even looking at Draymond Green. I'm looking at Jordan Poole saying, how many people talk smack about him that year? Even Saturday night, I ran into some fans who are like, well, Jordan Poole deserved it. He's a little sick, man. What if somebody punched you at your job? Would you be able to go to work every single day? Now, I know myself. I'll speak for myself here. I wouldn't be able to work with somebody. It was hard for me to work with somebody who cursed me out at this damn station for crying out loud. Now, let alone punch me. Yeah, it wouldn't happen. It wouldn't happen. So I understand why Jordan Poole was unhappy that season. You wake up, you're in the social media era, you pop on the Instagram, guess what's being played? You're getting socked in the face over and over and over. Hell, he's an NBA 2K player. Jordan Poole loves video games. He logs on an NBA 2K or you log on an Instagram and an NBA 2K, that got your player profile and you got a black eye. How's that going to make you feel?
It's ridiculous.
He had a bad attitude. And you blame him? So that's where, you know.
Draymond has a great attitude?
I mean, it is just.
What are we doing?
It's wild, man. But I do want to know how Dub Nation feels after watching that game Saturday.